Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. I formally declare this meeting of the Council of the City of Perth open. Are there any apologies?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Are there any questions?
None received at this time, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Are there any members on leave of absence or requests for leave of absence?
And none received.
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor. I from 1st of December to 6th of December inclusive.
Thank you.
And I've got one, Deputy Lord Mayor. From tomorrow, the 22nd of November, through to Sunday, sorry, till Monday, the 27th of November.
Thank you.
Through the 10th of December.
Sorry. Thank you, Councillor Linnaeus.
Yes, through the Chair. Deputy Lord Mayor, 4th of December to 18th of December inclusive.
Thank you. Any more? No? Great. Could I have a mover for those?
Happy to move.
Thank you.
Happy to second.
Thank you. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. I'd now like to move to confirm the minutes for the previous ordinary council meeting.
Happy to move.
I just also would like to add the special council meeting from the 24th of October and the special second council meeting from the 24th of October. The minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 26th of September and the minutes of the special meetings have been circulated. Do I have a mover?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Happy to second.
Thanks. All those in favour? Carried. On Friday, 10th of November, the Planning Institute of Australia Awards were announced, with this city's urban forest plan picking up the award for Best Planning Idea, Large Project Award for Excellence. The urban forest plan can be celebrated alongside other important City of Perth initiatives focused on making Perth a globally recognised livable city. Through detailed research, diligent planning and long-term commitment, the plan is set to turn Perth into a more comfortable, beautiful and sustainable city. The judges considered that the plan shows exemplary commitment to community engagement, both in its development and delivery and in the clarity of the written and illustrated public document. The Urban Forest Plan is both a significant and influential plan for the city and a landmark guide for others to follow. This is the fourth time that the city's urban forest plan has received industry recognition since it was adopted in September 2016. And the plan will go automatically into the national awards, which will be announced in May of next year. So I'd just like to acknowledge the administration for their work in making that happen. Congratulations. I'd now like to move on to the disclosure of members' interests. Do any elected members or employees wish to disclose an interest and its nature in any item contained within the agenda?
I've got one, Deputy Lord Mayor. Item 13.12, tender for the auditorium facade lighting on Perth Cotter Hall. I've got an impartiality interest. I'm a member of the Perth Theatre Trust Board, but I'll be staying in on the meeting on that one.
Thank you.
And mine also is listed. Oh, sorry.
No, you go. Oh, that's all right. And also item 14.2, motions of previous notice, 6-month free parking trial in Royal Street, East Perth. I've got a direct financial interest, so I'll be leaving the meeting for that one. I'm a part owner in a commercial space on Royal Street, which is directly affected by this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Adams. Councillor Davidson?
Just, I'm at 13.12, as documented on the item. Tender 064-1718 Auditorium and Facade Lighting, Perth Concert Hall. Impartiality interest and member of the Perth Theatre Trust.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. Councillor Haslock, I believe that you had...
Yes, through the Chair, I do. Agenda item 13.1, I have a direct financial interest and I'll be leaving the room for that.
Thank you. Councillor Linnaeus.
Deputy Lord Mayor, item 13.8, sponsorship round two.
I've got an impartiality interest as I am a member of the Hellenic Community of Western Australia.
Thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor, I have one item, 13.8. This is a Chunghua Association. I'm a member of a Chunghua Association, so this is impartiality interest.
Thank you.
Sorry, just through the chair, the Councillor Haslak, your disclosure of interest is in relation to item 13.2, not 13.1.
I beg your pardon, 13.2.
Thank you for noting that. Are there any more disclosures? Thank you. Do I need to move that?
No.
Are there any questions of which prior notice has been given?
None received, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Has any correspondence been received?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Have any petitions been received?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor. And published in the agenda in accordance with Section 523(2) of the Life Government Act, you may wish to move to close the chambers for discussion on items number 13.28, 13.29 and 13.3. At 13.31. Also, in accordance with the section of the Life Government Act, should you wish to discuss the content of the confidential attachments in relation to items 13.11, 12, and then 15 through 23, 29 and 31 is also recommended to resolve to close the meeting to the public prior discussion of the item.
Thank you, CEO. We'll now move through the items. Calling first on agenda item 13.1.
I'll have you move that, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone would like to second that?
Happy to second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you.
Great. Just a couple of comments about that, Deputy Lord Mayor. This was the second time this particular development came back to planning. The first time we weren't sure, we really want to make sure the consultation with the landowners and the ratepayers and the residents around were seriously taken into consideration. We have been through quite a lengthy discussion at the committee, really discussing about CPS2 and the requirements. We found that although there are some very small elements of this design that don't comply, we're a little bit just outside of those limits. Generally speaking, the actual development did comply. We do note that there was quite a few comments from the residents surrounding that area, and although it's disappointing we really can't satisfy everybody to have a very happy outcome, given that the building predominantly does comply with the requirements and the planning provisions around that area, we agree that we would be supporting it, and supporting it also essentially on the grounds that if we don't, then the applicant could possibly have grounds to actually take this matter further in that the building does comply. We looked at the overshadowing, we looked at its design, we looked at its height, so we looked at all the different aspects that make up that particular site, and there will be some disappointed residents tonight, I accept that, but at the same time it does generally comply, so we do have to support this evening.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any other comments or questions? No? On that note, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item 13.2, Railway Street, West Perth, 2 proposed third-party variable content wall signs. Do I have a mover?
I'll move that, Deputy Lord.
Thank you. Someone like to second that? Oh, I'd just like to note that Councillor... Oh, Just like to note for the record that Councillor Haslak has left the chamber. Thank you. And Councillor Limnios is leaving the chamber for this item.
Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Limnios needs to state the nature and extent of his departing.
Yes, Councillor Limnios.
Potentially might have a business interest with one.
Yeah, thanks.
because a lot of these things are on in company names, and I'm just got a bit of a flashback, and I might know one the part of the entity that's there, so I'll rather be outside, just be double.
Sure. Does that require a form to be completed?
Yes, it will. So it's a direct financial interest, the potential for it, so that's fine to leave with Chambers.
Yeah, I don't even think I'm doing business with the person, but I think I might know them in a business environment.
That's okay.
That would be my understanding and impartiality.
Yes, that would be correct. If it's just you know of someone but don't have any business dealings.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I'm covered, so I will walk out of the room.
So in addition to leaving the chamber, you do need to complete the paperwork.
Yeah, I will do that.
Great. Sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor, just on a point of order. A councillor is not allowed to depart the chamber on an impartiality interest, so Councillor Lemnios needs to make clear as to whether or not it's an impartiality or a financial conflict of interest.
Thank you. Yes.
So
which interest are you declaring?
I would rather say that there is the potential for it to be a financial interest, so I would rather move out.
Understood. Thank you. So Councillor Adamos has moved that. Who will second it?
Second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Once again, Deputy Lord Mayor, we discussed this at length at the committee. One thing to keep in mind is that we have got a science policy that's less than 12 months old, so we really do need to apply that policy in its true form. There are some instances where we won't do that, and that depends if the subject site or the application itself is worthy of us considering to moving outside that policy. On this occasion, we decided that it was best for us to apply the policy in its current format. Something to note, that's a whole area around there is the Hamilton precinct. That whole area is actually due for a large-scale redevelopment at some point during the future. So, look, it's not to say that we won't actually approve a sign in that location at a later date, but it's something I'd rather consider as part of broader strategy of the area rather than just allowing for a sign to kind of be stuck up on top of the building. And that's how I see it played out. It doesn't really do much, in my opinion, and to enhance that particular area, it doesn't really add much to it at all. So given what the officer's recommendation is, I'm going to be supporting that and to be declining this application.
Thank you. Any more comments? No? On that note, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Note for the record that councillors Haslak and Lemnios are re-entering the chamber. Moving on to item 13.3. Do I have a mover?
I'll move that, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone would like to second that?
Oh, happy to second.
Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor. This is about the alfresco area outside the Forest Chase redevelopment. This has come back. So ISPT are the landowners of the Meyer Chase shopping centre. There's a huge redevelopment going on down there that I'm sure the councillors will be aware of. It is a large space, and as such, it needed a lot of attention, a lot of consideration of what is going on with the outdoor alfresco area. This item went back to planning a couple of times. We've had briefings on it, presentations on it. I think the outcome that we've come up with this evening is probably the best one. It does allow for some dedicated alfresco area towards the forest place space, something we would normally not do. However, given the nature of this development and the amount of impact it will have on Forest Place itself, I think it's probably a good suggestion that we support it moving forward. Mm-hmm. We have been lucky enough that ISPT have been supportive of giving us some assistance, so to speak, with moving some of the current alfresco areas over there. And one thing I'd like to assure all stakeholders and ratepayers of the City of Perth is that the amount that they currently have as public open space and public seating for that square of forest space will still be maintained, although there is a little bit of extra space that's now being dedicated towards that development. It's an important area for the city and one that we need to keep supporting, particularly as we move forward through these challenging times through our cycle.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Just a question, Deputy Lord Mayor, perhaps for the Planning Director or the CEO. Is that true that the amount of public furniture and public open space will be maintained? Or my understanding was that we were leasing what is currently public open space and the amount of space will in fact be decreased.
Through the Chair, I can probably refer to Margaret Smith, who's dealt with this in detail. My understanding has been, though, that there's yet an arrangement to be executed in respect to the ground lease, and that's not in question here. So, just I'd do perhaps through Margaret.
Yes, through the Chair. In the past, there has been a similar area leased to the management or ownership of that particular shopping centre for the purposes of alfresco dining. The intended proposed area of alfresco dining will be larger than what existed in the past because it does wrap around onto the Wellington Street frontage, but it is proposed that the existing amount of public seating that exists in Forest Place at the moment will be relocated by arrangement with the city. At this stage, we, being the city, haven't determined just where that seating will go and how much of it we want to replace. But that's the purpose of condition 1.1 is to address that in once we've got details sorted out.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Yeah, I would just like to encourage and congratulate the proponents of this. I think the ISPT redevelopment is an important part of the Forest Chase area and our CBD. It's an entrance statement from the train station coming through. The confidence that shows the marketplace and the various indicators, business indicators, when you see such a major redevelopment occurring is positive. It might spur on the confidence for others in the area and in the surrounding CBD precincts to start to kick off their projects. We've got quite a few hundreds of millions of dollars worth of private, even billions worth of private investment coming in conjunction with what the state government has done. So we need to continue to facilitate and make these transactions an easy and positive experience with the capital city. So congratulations to ISPT.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Moving on to item 13.5. Would someone like to move that?
Yes, I move.
Thank you.
If you love me.
Councillor Chen and Councillor Adam.
I will second that.
Thank you. Any comments?
Just make one comment. I think this is, as the report title said, is we are going to sign a letter of intent with the
I apologise. I've said 13.5. It is item 13.4, pardon me.
Oh, sorry.
I do apologise. Shall we remove that? Yeah. We'll just re-go through that process of moving.
I'm happy to move 13.4.
Thank you. And thank you, Councillor Davidson. Councillor Chen, would you like to speak to that motion? No?
No, thank you.
Okay, I'll just say a couple of words. Deputy Lord Mayor, the 13.4 is really just, there are three lots over in Collins Street and Trude Street in West Perth. All this is really just an administrative process to make it one special control area. And the purposes of a special control area is so we can treat the site as one site. So we can treat those three sites as one site for the purposes of plot ratio and car parking.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really helps the City of Perth and the landowner to really deal with such a large site as one rather than three individual spots.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour, and that's carried unanimously. Moving on to item 13.5, signing letter of intent with representatives of Dempsa City, Indonesia.
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor, I move this.
Thank you, Councillor Chen and Councillor Harley.
This report is set up a good example and a precedent for the city to move forward to consider not only sister city relationships, but the economic cooperation. So this is a very good first step for us to move forward.
Thank you.
Sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yep, sorry, I hadn't turned my light off. Apologies. I just wanted to add to the comments of Councillor Chen. I was very, very pleased to see this come up through the administration and to council for consideration. We look forward to welcoming the Mayor of Denpasar in Perth imminently. That is, I think, a wonderful opportunity for the city to engage directly with the political leadership of Denpasar. You know, we can speak quite colloquially and positively about Australians' interactions with Bali, particular Western West Australians. It's obviously a favoured holiday destination. It's also really important to remember that Indonesia is a huge and booming country with so many people living in that vicinity and a rising middle class. There are some really fantastic new I guess innovative technologies and businesses that are forming up in Bali. If you're a startup, there's probably no cheaper or more beautiful place to live if you want to keep your cost of living low while you're in the startup phase of a business. I visited a co-working space in Ubud when I was there on a personal holiday recently. There are huge opportunities for a stronger partnership between the cities of Perth and Denpasar and Bali more broadly, and I'm really happy that we're perhaps going to sign this letter of intent, and I really hope that the relationship grows and deepens over the years.
Thank you.
I'd like to add, make a comment.
Thank you.
I agree with most things that my colleagues have said, apart from encouraging people to go and do their startups there. I think we're spending millions encouraging people to come to Western Australia, and I think that that's what we should be doing as a council, and I think we provide an environment and a platform with a lot of stability that is second to none. I also like the fact that there is that relationship between Bali and Western Australia, so he's, you know, unofficially the mayor of a lot of Western Australians too, because they spend so much time there, so we welcome him wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Any more comments? I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.6. Do I have a mover?
Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Chen.
Deputy Lord Mayor, I move.
Happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Hasluck. Any comments on this?
Yes, this is a so important conference in our annual calendar, and the city started to sponsor since 2013, and a very steady sponsorship sum, and then encouraging international and interstate companies to come over to Perth. And I really hope this organizer can apply for 3 years sponsorship rather than annual sponsorship, because as long as they continue to hold and the conference in Perth. Thank you.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.7. Do I have a mover?
I move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chen.
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Barton. Any comments or questions?
Yes, the budget for this kind of a sponsorship, because there's so many applications and applicants, but we don't have enough budget for everyone. We really wanted to give, sponsorship to each of the applicants, but we have the panel system to score, and then we have to, the money distributed among the highest scoring applicants. So this is wanted to see the budget for 2018 and see whether we can allocate a bit more to encourage people to come to the city, to activate the city, to bring the people to the city, and to help our businesses in the city in the challenge circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
I would also like to add to Councillor Chen's comments in that there were $320,000 worth of applicants in terms of round two. We took the recommendations for the most part of the administration, with the exception of a few that we felt were perhaps in need of a bit of help and a bit of assistance, and we're excited to see these programs move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more comments? put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Moving on to item 13.8, event sponsorship round two.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Chen.
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Barton. Any comments? No, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.9, payments for municipal and trust funds.
Move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harley.
Second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson, thank you. Any comments or questions?
No.
Your light's on, Councillor Harley. Thank you. All that, we'll put that to a vote.
Deputy Lord Mayor, sorry, thank you. I just wanted to make one quick comment. We don't usually discuss these in detail, but I think it is worthwhile, if you turn to page 216, to see that $6.7 million that the council collects and provides the state government for the Department of Fire and Emergency Services levy. Mm. Obviously, this is a very important use of money, but I do strongly believe that right across Western Australia, all ratepayers have been contributing a huge amount of money in fire services levies over quite some time now, money that goes straight to the state government. These services were previously funded in other ways. So this is a state government cost shift to every household that pays rates. I think it's probably worthwhile asking for some more visibility of the use of this funding, given that we process it and pass it on up the line and all ratepayers pay for it. Word on the ground is that the fire services, fire trucks, fire stations are very, very well financed and serviced these days. And there had been a recognition that those services had been underserviced for a long time. But I think that we need to probably push and ask through the Capital City Committee or perhaps through the WA Local Government Association to check whether or not this is just a revenue-raising exercise for the state government or if this is actually, let's say, an efficient use of funds. I wouldn't like to think that it's simply a tax that was imposed and just spent however they chose. We need to make sure that, that's actually being used wisely. So that's something that we discussed at Finance Committee and something that we'll look to push.
Thank you. On that note, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.10, financial statements and financial activity statements of the period end 30 September 2017.
Happy to move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harley.
Second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. Any comments? Put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.12, food business assessment and inspection.
Sorry, Deputy Lord Mayor.
I'd just like to point out that there is a confidential schedule attached to this, and so if you would like to discuss that, we will need to vacate the chamber of guests.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I just want to confirm that's item 13.11.
Thank you.
Food business assessment and inspection. I'm happy to move that.
Thank you.
Second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Harley and Davidson, thank you. Any comments or questions?
No.
We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.12, tender for auditorium and facade lighting for the Perth Concert Hall.
Happy to move, Deputy
thank
Lord Mayor.
Thank you.
Second, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. Any comments?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor. I just wanted to draw public attention to this significant capital investment in the Perth Concert Hall. It is obviously a wonderful community asset that the City of Perth owns and has done for a great number of years. We discussed just before this meeting that it was officially opened by Prime Minister Gough Whitlam and partially funded through federal and state government grants at the time. It is a little bit worse for wear, and there is absolutely a need, and it's been well acknowledged through council processes that we need to continue to invest funds in the concert hall if we want to see it upgraded to the standard that the public expects. This is a significant amount of money, and it is for lighting to improve, firstly, the safety of lighting, but the efficiency and the function of lighting. This investment will allow for lighting displays or much more versatile use of lighting, the ability for the overhead lights and other lighting to be incorporated into the entertainment rather than just projecting an ambient yellow light, but to project coloured lighting. So it's a vast improvement on what we've had before, and I think it's worth acknowledgement and worth spending a bit of time bringing it to public attention. Thanks.
Thank you. Any more comments? On that note, we'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.13, activation in the city.
Happy to move.
Thank
Deputy
you.
Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Any comments?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Just a few. This is a big spend, but it's for what we hope will be a very good outcome for the city. This is a reprioritisation of operational funding that's been proposed by the administration. The agenda breaks down how this funding is intended to be used, and it also interestingly breaks down the directorates that have contributed to this operational funding. So it's good to see right across the different units of the city that everyone is, if you like, chipping in as part of either projects that have not eventuated or projects that have led to greater, have been run more efficiently. There's perhaps a little bit of money left over in the kitty from a couple of projects bundled together in the best interest of the city. What we've got in essence here is a $280,000 investment in extending activities at the Northbridge Piazza, a commensurate investment in the Spring in the City campaign. It's an 8-week activation plan right across the city, lots of promotion and marketing of the wonderful offerings that the city provides. Of course, the, oft criticised Christmas activities of the city, 52 days and 39 nights of Christmas lights and events and activities, the Christmas lights trail. This funding allows us to extend Christmas lights and extend pedestrian movement throughout the city as part of Christmas. Of course, we've got the pageant and all these other things coming up, so the city of Perth really is a great place to enjoy Christmas. There's something really special there, and I think newsworthy as well, the addition of fireworks to the existing New Year's Eve event in Northbridge. I think that's a great investment to really celebrate that key occasion in the city. And, a couple of other things, but the Serious Business Moves campaign, something that I know is dear to the Deputy Lord Mayor's heart and will be launched shortly. This, we all hope, will be a game-changing conversation starter for people to have another look at the city and recognise the underlying economic trends that exist and recognise that people's attitudes and investment decisions are changing, that we hope and we believe based on indicators that we've been through the worst of it and we're now going to enter a new period of blossoming economic activity in the city. We want to try and speed that up and change the conversation so that people think more positively about the investment and business opportunities that exist here in the city. So this, I think, is a very commendable report. It's great to see reprioritisation of funding towards the activation of the city and something I'm very happy to support.
Thank you.
Through the Chair, I'd just like to thank the administration for their tremendous efforts in preparing this. I think that the if it goes through and we get the outcomes that we're expecting, I think they'll be exceptional for the city.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Yeah, I would also like to make a comment that I think it's a great initiative. It's great to activate our city. It's very important that we attract people into our capital city and our precincts that support our city. We're in a huge competition with major shopping centres, which are now not even called shopping centres. They're called leisure centres. They have the state-of-the-art entertainment precincts. They've even taken businesses out of the CBD, offering them incentives to go and create their microbreweries there and the whole lot. I look forward to seeing our Christmas activation being even better next year with the turning of the lights ceremony coming back for 2018. So it wasn't a criticism at all. It was just talking about the fact that I would like to see that as well as part of our calendar. But overall, I am very much appreciative of the effort that has gone into this, in particular the director and her team, because without a good solid team of hard-working people, you can't achieve anything in any organisation or any team. So congratulations to all, and I'll stop there because I think you guys have all heard enough. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Limios. Any more comments? I'll just make some closing remarks around the Serious Business Move campaign, which actually launches tonight. There's been more than $13 billion of capital investment in Perth with infrastructure projects like Elizabeth Quay, Yagan Square and the stadium, and it positions Perth as a far more livable proposition than ever before. In fact, in terms of livability rankings, we've been top 10 for many years and currently sit at number 7. And with the creation of the direct flights between Perth and London, Perth is very much Australia's gateway to Europe, and the conversation around direct flights also to Tokyo and Shanghai also make it Australia's gateway to Asia. And business confidence is at a 3-year high right now, according to the CCI, and this month we've had a 6% spike in volume of house sales compared to this time last year, and there are 20% more jobs in the marketplace compared to this time last year. So I think, in essence, I think that Perth is a really competitive proposition, and the hope is that the Smart Business Move campaign really advertises that and does change the conversation and gets companies to consider Perth as a place to base themselves, or reconsiders Perth or takes a second look at Perth. And that might be companies that are currently based outside of the CBD or based elsewhere, either interstate or internationally, and are looking for an Australian head office. On that note, I will put the item to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 13.14, heritage rate concession for the Criterion Hotel.
Happy to move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you.
Second, Deputy Lord.
Thank you. Any comments? No? Put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 13.15, this item has a confidential attachment, so if we did want to discuss that, we will have to move behind closed doors. Do I have a mover?
Happy to move that.
Thank you.
Second, Deputy Lord.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments?
Sorry, question for Deputy Lord Mayor. No, that's fine. I'll discuss it, but won't discuss the contents of the attachment in detail. Just wanted to acknowledge Perth Public Art Foundation Executive Director Nathan Giles is in the public gallery this evening, and acknowledge the great work of the foundation. Obviously, Councillor Steve Haslack, board member, as well. Look, this is a really important discussion for us to be having as a community, the discussion around how we celebrate our bicentenary. It's a big discussion. Mm. It's 12 years away. It's probably not, not too great a time, actually, when we look at how long things take to plan and fund and construct and realise. There are so many different options that have been put on the table as part of the ongoing discussions by the Art Foundation about how we as a community would like to celebrate this bicentenary. It's obviously a broader community discussion, something of statewide significance and something that the state government would take great interest in. I'd like to acknowledge the Lord Mayor, who has advocated that we do something around this as a city for a number of years now through the Perth Public Art Foundation. The funding that is recommended as part of this proposal is to continue to have a broad discussion with the community, a great big conversation, a public consultation with, you know, community leaders, community members, organisations, not-for-profit groups, important government departments and other agencies. Because, for example, if we were to do something on the Swan River, the layperson might expect that would be relatively easy, but it's probably 25 government departments that we need to consult with and plan in accordance with. So these kinds of things can take a long time. If I might just have a little bit of latitude, I'd like to pitch in a bit of my idea. I think it would be great if we focused on the river. I think it is the city's key asset. It's the natural beauty and, the natural beauty of the Perth area, Western Australia and Australia more broadly is what draws so many tourists and visitors. You know, and it's something that we as locals celebrate and really value. The Swan River or the Derbal Yerrigan also has, you can't understate the importance of the Derbal Yerrigan to the Aboriginal Noongar community here. I think it's an opportunity for us as a city to have this important discussion with the Aboriginal community and to do something really special that works to reconcile those communities and works to celebrate the enormous achievements of the people who live in Western Australia and who have done so much to develop the state. So there are, you know, all manner of potential ideas on the table, and I'm really excited to see what will come out of this big public conversation that it's important, I think, we should all have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments? Councillor Hassan?
Through the Chair, I'd just like to say I'm a man of lesser words than Councillor Harley, but I certainly I support everything he's just said. I think this is a great opportunity for us to create something very, very special for our city to celebrate such an important item or event as a bicentenary. And I think this is going to be something very, very special and iconic for Perth for many, many years to come after.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put the item to a vote. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Moving on to item 13.16, Risk Management Quarterly Update. Would someone like to move that?
Move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. A seconder?
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments? No, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. The next item is 13.17.
Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson.
I'll second that, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments or questions? We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour. Councillor Chen, are you voting? Thank you. All those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 13.18.
Happy to move.
There is a confidential schedule attached to this. Thank you, Councillor Hasluck.
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments? No, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. 13.19.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Limios.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Any comments? Put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. 13.20. Thank
I'll
you, Councillor Limios.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Second.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Any comments? Put that to a vote. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. 13.21.
I'll move that too.
Thank you.
I second that one.
Thank you, Councillor Chen and Limios. Any comments or questions? Put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 13.22.
I'll move that too.
Thank you, Councillor Limios and Councillor Chen. Any comments? No, we'll put that to a vote, or carried unanimously. 13.23.
I'll move that too.
Thank you, Councillor.
Seconding as well.
Councillor Chen, any comments? Put that to a vote. All those in favour, Councillor Limios, thank
yes.
you. Yes, carried unanimously. 13.24.
Move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ahali.
Seconding.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Comments?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I just wanted to open the debate with a couple of very praising words for the administration again. Alfresco policy, alfresco fees, the regulation and administration around alfresco licences is something that I've been very interested in for a number of years now, and I'm really happy to see the end result of this review. The administration took on board the notion that there were many councillors who wanted to see a bit of improvement in this area. The Deputy Lord Mayor strongly advocated for a number of changes in regards to what people, you know, what businesses could do within alfresco areas as well. The administration went out to a public consultation. The report included in the recommendations attached. This is a great example of great evidence-based policy. Administration taking feedback, going out to the community, consulting, reporting back data and reporting back some really great recommendations for our consideration. It's the way that we should create policy at the city. Now, I have to say that my heart sank a little bit when there wasn't a recommendation for a complete abolition of the fee. Councillors would know that I have been advocating for a $0 fee for al fresco dining, but I'm happy to cop this one because I think it's a pretty good report. This is a reduction from between $80 and $150 per square metre down to $40. Very significant reduction. I believe CEO making it perhaps the cheapest in the country of capital cities if we approve this policy tonight. The allowance of beverage preparation within outdoor dining areas also, I think, allows businesses to do some innovative things with their service. A couple of other things in there. There's the reduction of pedestrian clearance between buildings. In some locations in the city, we've required a 3 metre distance between a building and the commencement of an alfresco area. Perhaps it was a bit too generous. If you look at many other cities around the world and cities within Western Australia, they don't subscribe to that same huge generous pedestrian space. I think that this is an opportunity for businesses to expand their alfresco offering, which will be very well regarded. And I wanted to also put on the record as that one of, I think, the best recommendations here, 1.7, saves us money and saves everyone hassle as well. If a business has an alfresco area and they've been there for a long time, at the moment we ask them to continually submit a new application or a new renewal process every year, and our staff process that, and it costs us time and it costs them time, costs everyone time. So being able to lock in a 3-year rolling approval, I think, is a great win. So there are so many reasons why we should support this, and I again praise the administration for going through a thorough process and bringing something of quality for us to consider.
Thank you, Councillor Harley. I had a question of you, if I may. Would you be willing to consider changing the commencement date for the for item 1.1 from 1st of July 2018 to 1st of January 2018?
Deputy Lord Mayor, I'd be more than happy to consider that. However, I understand that the reasoning behind it would be that it would have a material impact on our budget. However, the estimated cost of the alfresco fees, I mean the estimated revenue, is roughly $300,000 per annum, 6 months roughly $150,000. If we look at a reduction of the fees from what they are at the moment down to 40. The one of the difficulties, Deputy Lord Mayor, is people may have already paid for a permit which would roll all the way through.
Yes, I have some advice on that, and my understanding.
Happy to take advice.
Thank you. So, in terms of the proposal here, the administration had done some modelling which forecast increase in demand, which would partly offset the reduction in cost, and so the net impact on the budget from an annual perspective would be around about $155,000. And so for the 6 months from January to June would be half of that, so about $77,500. And the advice I believe I've received, I'll just double check on this, to Director Barringer, that we are able to offer a rebate to those who have paid in the period from January to July, so they won't be adversely affected, relatively speaking.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Thanks for that information. Based on the information that's been provided and based on the feedback I've had from all of the retailers I've spoken to, they'd very much appreciate that. And so I'd be more than happy to review the recommendation with a commencement date of 1 January 2018 and would seek other councillors to support me in that amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Harley.
Sorry, can I just ask a question? Is that...
Yes?
Is that I'm not aware of these numbers, so how these numbers come about, what's the background to them?
Thank you. I don't feel
that I don't want to make a decision based on what we've just decided.
Certainly. Director Barringer, would you be able to clarify for the benefit of the elected members on the estimates?
Yes, so the DLM requested a scenario where a faster take-up of the alfresco licences, and looking at that scenario, so this is the scenario we've put in here is an increase at probably half the rate up until next year. So it depends on the take-up, and we were going to report back to council on the take-up rate, but obviously it's a refund of half those fees that would have come in, which is $355,000. So it is dependent on the take-up rate, which I haven't... It's only been given to the...
So at the moment we have 220 alfresco licence fees, and the forecast would be that that would rise to about 300, and so there would be a potential windfall gain in revenue from the additional volume of applications, which would partly offset the reduction in revenue, and the net figure is about $77,500 or $80,000 for this financial year.
So the question to the administration is that... Still taking into account that I know here in the report it's roughly about $3,000 per alfresco. Like, I don't want to sit here and start doing the maths in chamber. I don't think it's the right way of dealing with this issue. But so the question to the administration is that this $3,000 cost per alfresco, given Councillor Green has just said that there may be a greater take up, then does that whack the balance out of all this?
Sorry, through the chair. If there's a greater take-up, obviously the reduction impact will be less, but we're still, for the report, I'm more comfortable in that take-up rate, but I suppose it's an option for council to consider that obviously a faster take-up rate will reduce, feed back into the revenue more.
Through the chair, the feedback that I've received is this would be very, very helpful to the small businesses out there. The sooner we do it, the better, from their perspective. And I feel that it will bring more activation to the streets of Perth rather than pushing people inside their shops. It's going to bring them out and make Perth a more lively place to be, and I fully support it.
Through the chair.
Just getting some guidance from governance, just one moment.
Through the chair, I just want to clarify that the implementation date would be for fees only from the 1st of January. The remaining items in the motion would be up until July, they don't necessarily 30th of June.
Thank you for that clarification. In terms of moving that amendment to the motion, am I right in understanding you would like to move an amendment for consideration of council?
Me?
Yes. As the original mover of the motion, you're the only person that can do that.
Sure, yeah, happy to do that. And I did fully understand, to Manager of Governance, I did fully understand that the 1 January take-up would only be on the fee, not on the rest of the reforms.
Great. And would anyone
just
like...
Just a point of order, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you.
We're assuming that the mover and the seconder are going to agree to, in item 1.1, that 1 January stands and not 1 July, so they need to both accept that that's the way it's going to go.
Councillor Chen, would you be willing to second that amendment to the motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
No.
Are there any other comments or questions?
My comments are I support this from the outset. I believe it's very important, as Councillor Haslack said, that we need to get people from inside their businesses to outside. There's a lot of evidence that shows that people want to be with people, and the more people you see out on the street, the more you want to go to that location and interact. I'm not sure if my councillor colleagues had the opportunity to see their emails from some of our stakeholders that came through late in the afternoon, urging us, some major stakeholders, urging us to really support this move and to support the activation of our city streets through this motion. I think we are overdue, and we need to work together as a capital city to do everything. All the things that we've discussed about the activation today, earlier on, through finance and budget and these moves, and coming up with some parking incentives, all of these things combined together is what's going to help us fight the good fight for our retailers, for our small business people, for our residents, and attract the people back into the capital city. You know, it worries me as a citizen of Perth, as a member of this council, as a business person that has grown up in this area, that it's an easy decision for people to say, no, it's too hard to come to the city. Too hard, we're not coming. We're going to go somewhere else. So I think we're showing a really good effort in making this city great, and we're trying hard. So I support it.
Thank you, Councillor Lumiere.
Can I just make a comment?
Certainly.
I wanted to congratulate the administration to write a so good report. Mm. And from the point of 1.1 to up to 1.9, I read through and the report itself, I find the all opinions and the considerations of the elected members all taken into consideration. Mm. And then I said many times, I'm very happy with our city's administration because they have done great jobs. And congratulate again. And this one is so important to our business owners. And you have done great job. And I agree with the amendment moved from 1st of January 2018, and we needed to act, not really wait, if we can.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Councillor Adamos.
Yes, look, thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Look, I'm really, I listened to all the comments around the table. I'm very supportive of the recommendation, and there's 9 points to this recommendation, so I'm supportive of it, but I'm not supportive of this change from 1st July back to the 1st of January. I just don't think as a council we've had enough opportunity to actually examine these numbers and really, I mean, ideally I would have preferred to have gone back to committee and then get a full report back so we can at least assess it in, you know, exactly how it should be. I'm kind of now conflicted because I feel that I do want to support this motion, but there's an element of it I don't. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle of it, I suppose. I'm not really happy to make the change back to the 1st of January. It's not because it's a financial thing. I just think that we as a council, I think we need to have all the information right in front of us, have the numbers in front of us, make that right decision, you know, have time to study the papers. I think to make this change kind of, from my opinion, on the fly, I don't think that's an appropriate way to deal with financial matters. That said, I'm kind of stuck. I'm very disappointed that we're making these changes on the fly, but I'm supportive of the whole change to the policy, particularly, you know, the whole 8 of the 9 points.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any more comments or questions?
Councillor Green, I'm happy to close, but if you'd like to...
Thank you. I'd just like to acknowledge the administration for the very comprehensive and detailed work that they have done on this. And in terms of the proposed amendment, I also, you know, would have liked more time, and I can appreciate your sentiments, Councillor Adamos. Given the time constraints that we had to bring this to Council, so I acknowledge that it's a suboptimal situation, and I think that moving forward, I think we can make sure that we are able to give things the space that they're needed so that you can feel comfortable as well. On that note, I'll pass.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I just wanted to close and say, look, yes, we could wait another 6 months. We've already actually waited years. I'd just like to remind elected members that this has been an issue on our agenda for years. This review, we've been pushing and pushing and pushing. It's finally come here. If there's an opportunity for us to implement the recommendations of the report earlier, we should support that. If you read the correspondence here from the AHA, I also have met with many business owners of the city through the Perth City Accord. They're all unanimously in support of reform in this area, and they would be very pleasantly pleased to see us act as quickly as possible, given that it has actually been an ongoing issue for the city now for a number of years. So I encourage all councillors to support a speedy resolution of this. Thanks.
Thank you. On that note, we'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.25, review of elected member expense categories.
Deputy Lord Mayor, so I'm looking for a bit of direction from governance. I'd like to foreshadow either an alternate motion or an amendment to this policy, CP 10.6.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson.
Yes,
you may move an alternate motion.
Alternate motion.
Thank you.
So the alternate motion is that we're looking at amending council policy CP 10.6, 1.5, childcare costs incurred by the member because of the member's requirement to fulfil the duties of a council member to a maximum of $25. Rationale behind that, I'd like to get a nod on this, that it is the figure that is in the Local Government Act, and so we are aligning with the Act. That's my rationale for that. 1.9, clothing, apparel, dry clean, personal presentation, maximum claimable amount of $3,000 per annum, associated with the member's attendance at council-related functions and activities, and that the rationale there is due to being a part of a capital city and the number of events attended by the elected members. So I've got a second from Councillor Adamos, and if I can open the debate, certainly this has been...
I'll just note for the record, Councillor Adamos is seconding that. Thank you.
This has been very carefully discussed and considered. It's, in some eyes, may not be necessarily perfect. It is, of course, an amelioration to the policy that I think that that's where we're trying to work towards, that we're all coming to hopefully a consensus figure, and on that basis and in good faith, I put that through to people.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson.
Lord Mayor, I have a question for yourself or for governance. I'm not clear about what the alternate recommendation from Councillor Davidson is for our consideration.
Thank you. May we obtain a figure from you, Councillor Davidson, as to the amount you're proposing to reduce the...
I thought I'd actually said that, so I apologise.
Point of order, it's not to reduce, it's to cap.
Pardon me, I didn't use the correct language. So is that now clear for you,
so
Councillor Harley?
So 1.5 is childcare, $25 per hour. At the moment our policy says $20, so we're aligning it with the Act.
Mm-hmm.
1.9, clothing, apparel, dry cleaning, personal presentation. This is a cap, claimable of $3,000 per annum. You take it up or you don't pick it up, associated with the members' attendance at council-related functions and activities.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. Are there any comments or questions in relation to this?
Through the chair, unfortunately, as I understand it, everything's bundled in together, the childcare and the clothing allowance. I fully support the proposed amendments to the childcare costs incurred of $25 per hour in accordance with the Act. However, it is my firm view that elected members' clothing allowances are outdated and a thing of the past. Indeed, the City of Perth is the only council in Western Australia that allows elected members to continue to claim such expenses. As elected members, I believe we should at all times do what is in the best interests of the ratepayers and the community in general. I do not believe that allocating ratepayer funds to clothing to clothe councillors is in any way acting in their best interests. Accordingly, I do not support the proposed changes to the clothing allowance. Doing what is right is critical in this role, and I urge my colleagues to support changes that totally abolish the clothing allowance. I say this with the greatest of respect to my colleagues. And Deputy Lord Mayor, I request my words be recorded in the minutes in accordance with the standing orders.
Thank you. I'll just confirm with Governance that they will be noted in the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions?
Deputy Lord Mayor...
Councillor Hazlett, would you mind turning your light off, please?
Beg your pardon?
Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I wanted to echo the statement of Councillor Hazluck in relation to childcare expenses, which obviously are outlined under the Act. I think that's an important... It's okay?
Councillor Harley was just getting some advice.
That's okay. All good. So I wanted to support the inclusion of the ability for elected members to claim childcare reimbursements. However, you know, councillors around the table and members of the public would be well aware that I've had a long-standing opposition to the ability for elected members to claim a clothing allowance. I do not think that it is in line with community expectations. I do not think that it is a responsible use of council money. I believe that there have been plenty of examples in recent years where councillors, because they've been given, you know, quite great latitude, have used this expense quite irresponsibly, in my view. So it's really disappointing to me that though we have the election of some new councillors and some very positive changes that we are pushing, councillors still aren't able to bring themselves to being progressive enough to push through this barrier. Though in the future, I have no doubt that that will occur. I think that if we can't clip our own wings, then the state government will probably legislate against this kind of practice in the future, a practice which has been admonished by the Minister, the Premier, the local member for Perth and any other person who wishes to express a view on it. I'd be greatly disappointed if councillors wanted to continue to spend $3,000 on clothing. I do acknowledge, though, that some small progress has been made, and I acknowledge the Deputy Lord Mayor's efforts in liaising with councillors on this. You know, councillors, or the majority of councillors, now seem willing to limit their own spending to $3,000. That's positive. Those same councillors in the past have spent, you know, some of them $10,000, $11,000 in 1 year. And so acknowledging that that spending will decrease to a cap of $3,000, I think, is a step in the right direction. But I really do think that we need to move past this. We need to get this off our plate. Every year there's constantly criticism of the city and elected members for their, you know, what the community considers poor judgment and what the community considers poor policy in allowing this kind of practice to continue. So I know that some elected members feel uncomfortable when I say these things. It won't come as a surprise. I've been saying them now for 4 years. I do acknowledge that a limitation to a $3,000 cap is a really positive step in the right direction. But personally, I won't stop pushing this issue until we do see an abolition, but it may actually be that the state government intervenes, you know, as part of the local government review. They've certainly put this on the table in the past as an issue that they feel very unhappy at the City of Perth about. So I'll leave it up to other elected members to determine how they wish to use council money, but I would really encourage the abolition, and so for that reason I won't be supporting the amendment that's proposed by Councillor Davidson. I do want to make it clear for the record that I support the childcare. I do acknowledge that a cap is better than nothing, but I can't in all conscience vote for a policy that allows councillors to spend money on clothing. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I'm happy to close the debate.
Thank you.
I think the way things are going, I'll look towards governance again, whether you wish to take these as two separate items, which may be useful. So 1.5.
May I just get some advice on that, Councillor Davidson? Thank you. So I propose to separate the items so that they may be voted on individually, and so I will put to the
so
vote...
So could I close the debate?
You may. Yes.
Thank you.
So if you separate the items, does that mean we can speak on them separately?
Well, no. I think that we are closing the debate with Councillor Davidson here, and then each will be voted on individually. So if you would like to comment, you do need to do so before Councillor Davidson commences speaking, which would close the debate.
Okay. Before I communicate, does anybody else wish to speak? Because I'm only going to speak to defend you guys. So I will continue, and to support an alternative view. One thing that I disagree with in the political environment is politics of envy. Politics of envy is not a nice thing when you use it against your councillor colleagues. Very recently, I was approached by a particular councillor that expressed to me that I would love to be able to do more work, but I won't be able to because I personally cannot afford the apparel required.
Councillor Limios, I just want to caution you in terms of making derogatory comments about other councillors, which would be...
Well, sorry, when did I make a derogatory...
I just wanted to point to caution you in terms of whether you might do that was all.
Where's the assumption coming from, Where was I coming? What led you to believe that?
That you were referring to your council colleagues and making a criticism in terms of the politics of envy.
No, I was not. I was not referring to my councillor colleagues.
Understood.
I was
thank
referring
you.
To, in general terms, the concept of politics of envy.
Thank
is
you
that
for
clear,
clarifying.
CEO, or you thought it wasn't?
Through the chair, I was asked for advice whether there was a verging on derogation of a colleague, and my advice was it appeared to be headed in a direction, and it might be worth just clarifying where you're
headed.
Yeah,
well, I can categorically deny that. So. That is just wrong. So, I was approached very recently and I was told that I won't be able to afford to attend roles that require this level of dress because I can't afford it. I'm actually quite fortunate that I don't really need to worry about buying clothes for, you know, as part of my role. But if we want to introduce younger people or people who are from lower socio-economic environments or people who, due to circumstances at the moment, can't afford to buy a frock or a suit or a ball gown for some of these black tie events that we have, we need to be able to consider those people and not create an environment where if you don't tick those boxes, you can't play with us. That's very important. I've also witnessed plenty of situations where people don't buy clothes regularly enough, so therefore wear them out. And when you're representing a business or a capital city or what have you, in my view, we need to present ourselves properly, because in a capital city, we meet with the ambassador of Russia. We meet with the US ambassador. We don't meet with the local milkshake operator down the road. We get invited as a capital city to events that are a lot different from other cities around the state. So I don't want to make people around this table, because of certain agendas or certain motivations or whatever it is, make others feel uncomfortable about doing something that is within the actual policy of this council. This is within the policy of this council. Now, we all sat, for the benefit of the journalists in the room and the benefit of everybody in the room, we all sat in a meeting that was chaired by the Deputy Lord Mayor, and the Deputy Lord Mayor wanted consensus and support around the table and said, what do you feel about this? And everybody had the opportunity to discuss their feelings about where they came from. And the consensus around the table was a figure between $2,000 and $3,000. Everybody agreed to that. And for some reason, when the minutes came out, there was no figure there.
Governance would just like to clarify.
Sorry, was I being rude or something?
No, through the chair. Those briefings are not decision-making forums, so through that information that was discussed at those points, the reference within the report is actually an officer recommendation, so we need to separate out what is the advice.
Also, they were behind closed doors, so I just wanted to say that it's probably not appropriate that we discuss that in a public forum without consulting with our councillor colleagues.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Although they were behind closed doors, I do now need to correct for the record a statement of untruth, which is that I did not at any point agree that a $3,000 cap would be a good policy for the city.
No, I said consensus. I wasn't talking about you in particular.
Consensus, the definition of consensus, if you want to look it up in the dictionary, is that everyone agrees with the one thing. There were divergent views of opinion. There was a majority.
There was a majority. Sorry, I stand corrected.
Thank you for the point of clarification. Councillor Limnios, did you have any more closing remarks?
Yeah, I just want to finish.
Thank you.
I want to finish what I was saying. So what I want to avoid is for councillors around this table to feel embarrassed, ridiculed or made to feel as lesser because they are choosing to do what is within their rights. As mentioned earlier, the fact that today, and we must understand that that figure that we're talking about is a reimbursement account. It's not an account that we've got an open checkbook to. So, for example, you need to make a conscious decision. If you go and you buy a piece of equipment or you buy this folio, if it fits within the policy, you show your receipts, the CEO signs off, and you get reimbursed for the money that you spent. So I think all I'm trying to do here is defend the alternative view that hasn't, that for some reason hasn't been chosen to be expressed.
Thank you for your views, okay. Councillor Linios. Very much appreciated. Are there any closing remarks before I hand it over to Councillor Davidson?
Yes, I want to make a comment.
Thank you.
I also supported the alternative bill, and the $3,000 the limit and or cap was discussed privately among the elected members with the presence of administration, and I did ask the governance. I'm also fortunate I don't have to claim, but I always claimed. Because that's what you said is not is kind of a reimbursement I bought myself. Last year I forgot to claim, but finally I did a few hundred dollars. So it's not I wanted to use this money for the clothing allowance. And it's because I find, you know, we majority already achieved consensus or agreement for this cap, and I did ask the governance whether I don't have the use at all if I'm able to donate the money to the charity, but I was told no, you only can donate $50. So it's not because I wanted to use, I not wanted to use, it's because, you know, some of the councillors really need it. You know, and then we needed to consider everyone, not only consider yourself. So this is, I always believe, self-promotion, self-centered approach is not appreciated.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Chen.
Comments as well, Deputy Lord Mayor. I concur with the two comments just made there with Councillor Chen and Councillor Linios. You know, we are the capital city. We need to present ourselves in a manner which is appropriate to represent the capital city. I'm sure if any one of us approach an event, we weren't properly attired, I'm sure there'll be comments made about that. Quite understand Councillor Harley's comments. I understand what he's saying, and Councillor Haslux as well. But at the same time, you know, the point is made that there are councillors, you know, around this table or councillors in the future that necessarily don't have such an extensive wardrobe or don't have the means to get there. So I think elements like this I think are appropriate, and again, it's not an allowance. It's not an amount that we've been given. It's a reimbursement. Whether it gets spent or you don't spend it, it's a reimbursement. You have to spend the money before you can actually do it. I think to satisfy Councillor Harley's comments, it is a step in the right direction. It's, you know, heading towards putting a limit on. As we've looked at babysitting fees, this policy will go through a more extensive review in the next months, I believe. Next
in
month
February.
Or two. So, you know, possibly there's other issues there and other elements of this reimbursement policy that we can look at. But for the time being, I'm happy to support Councillor Davidson's alternate motion.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Councillor Davidson, would you like to close?
Yes, I'm happy to close.
Thank you.
And I'm going to close very quickly because it's a pity, of course, that all the good stuff that's gone before is suddenly going to focus on this particular item. So really, seeing that we're going to separate them, I once again move that 1.5 childcare costs incurred by the member because of the member's requirement to fulfil the duties of council member to a maximum of $25. Remember, this is in alignment with the Local Government Act, and on that basis, I think that is very sensible. And so I move that particular item, 1.5.
Thank you. So we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? And, pardon me. I need someone to second it. Pardon me.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And all those in favour, and that is carried unanimously. Thank you.
Right. In terms of 1.9, again, we're looking at an amelioration of this particular policy, that we're looking at a possible consensus, a collegiate approach, you know, literally, if I can use the word, the downsizing. So the motion is the 1.9 clothing, apparel, dry cleaning, personal presentation, maximum claimable amount, $3,000 per annum, associated with the members of tents at council-related functions and activities. Rationale is a capital city and all the events that we do attend. In terms of its defence, remember, you do not have to take up this reimbursement of expenses, and no doubt it will be published on the website. The electorate, I'm sure, and no doubt the media, will make its decision whichever way they wish to put it forth. And so I so move that 1.9.
Thank you. We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? And that's Councillor Barton, Limnios, Adamos, Chen and Davidson, and all those against, Councillors Harley, Hasluck and Green. And that matter is closed. Thank you, my councillor colleagues. We'll move on to item 13.26. This is a travel, third-party travel contribution for Councillor Limnios.
Happy to move this.
Thank you.
Seconding.
I'll just seek clarification on that. Yes, thank you. any comments?
No. No comments, CLM.
Oh, we've got a mover, Councillor Adamos, and a seconder, Councillor Davidson. Any comments or questions?
No comments.
We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Councillor Hasluck, are you in favour?
Yes.
Thank you. Carried unanimously. Councillor Limnios, would you like to come back in? Thank you. The next is 13.27, nomination of elected members for the Library Board of Western Australia.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Barton.
I'd like to second Councillor Barton.
I'll accept the nomination.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Put that to a vote. All those in favour? And that's it, all bar Councillor Barton.
Is she able to vote for herself?
Yes, and that's carried unanimously. The next item, 13.28. Oh, have I got the number on?
No,
13.28, compliance audits. Do I have a mover?
Move, Deputy.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments or questions? We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Next, 13.29, outstanding internal audit recommendation.
Move, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson.
Second,
and
Lord Mayor.
Adamos, thank you, Councillor Adamos. Any comments or questions? Okay, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. The next item, 13.30, McLean Lane approval of claim agreement. Any movers?
Deputy Lord Mayor, I'd like to move that we go behind closed doors to discuss this item, as there's a confidential schedule.
Thank you. I'm happy to second that. And all those in favour of going behind closed doors, I really apologise to the guests here. Would you mind vacating the chamber just for a few moments, and we'll let you know when you can come back in. Just Untertook.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. So, agenda item 1330, McLean Lane approval of claim agreement, was moved by Councillor Adamos, seconded by Councillor Green. The recommendation, as published, was carried unanimously. In respect to item 1331, appointment of designated senior employee manager coordination and design, was moved, Councillor Davidson, seconded Councillor Green. Recommendation, as published, was again moved, carried unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given. Have any notices of motion been received?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor. In accordance with clause 4.12 of the City of Perth Standing Orders Local Law, there are three motions, but I guess you wish to consider them individually, so I'll start with 14.1. Motion received from Councillor Limnios on 15 November 2017 for the consideration of Council One, that council approve from 15 to 24 December 2017, brackets Christmas week, free parking for entry after 4 p.m. until close in the following parking stations: State Library, Pierce Street, Terrace Road and Cultural Centre car parks. And two, that a report be presented back to council on the effectiveness of the free park initiative within 3 months of the completion of the trial. The administration is to engage with a strong sample of retailers to determine its effectiveness.
Thank you.
Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move it.
Thank you. And anyone like to second that?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Barton.
Deputy Lord Mayor, I have a question for governance. Given that items 14.1 and 14.3 will be dealing with a financial impact on the city, the current fee setting of the car parks, I wanted to check with the CEO whether or not items 14.1 and 14.3... Sorry, 14.1 and 14.2 should be discussed as matters of commercial confidence, whereas item 14.3, because it's not going to be discussing the financial budgetary impact, etc., could be held in open session. Just a question.
Through the chair, I understand that some information may have been provided out of session, but the items themselves and the information provided here is not commercial in confidence, so there can be general discussion around the higher order numbers. But of course, if we start to go into any detail, and there's no information actually tabled formally, so in that respect, but you have had an information pack, I believe, to help with some of the numbers.
Thank you.
Just Deputy Lord Mayor, I think we should go behind closed doors because of those financial implications, because I need to ask some questions on them if we're
named. Understood. So you'd like to move to go behind closed doors? I'm happy to second that. And the reason was to discuss matters, financial matters concerning the parking business.
Well, what
specifics? I think I just wanted to ask the responsible director, you know, whether practically and financially is viable for this before I can discuss.
Sorry. Through the chair, I must say that it is quite a difficult situation where we're talking about commercial in confidence, but that's being said, this is a local government authority and it is a public fee, so a lot of those fees that we are listed as scheduled should be discussed in an open forum.
Just a question for the manager of governance, mm-hmm. Then why is it in the past that every time we discuss these things they go behind closed doors?
Through the chair, those are often cited as being specific rates that have been commercially competitive.
Through the chair, I again clarify that that might signal our charging strategies to other providers, whereas if we start to drill down into the individual costs and revenues from individual car parks and bays, that's when it starts to be going to the realm of commercial in confidence, because it would signal a future situation that we might be considering for competitors to preempt. So I guess, you know, it's a grey area. The reason to go behind closed doors would be, fair if we had, a formal report of council. Given this is a member motion received relatively late, we've provided some information not included in the agenda for consideration. I believe that you could resolve to go behind closed doors, but reasons might be questioned.
Sorry, a further question. The information that's been provided by the administration, is that considered confidential, or could I ask for that to be tabled for the record?
That would be considered confidential.
Given that we're about to discuss that in great detail, wouldn't the discussion around that then be of a confidential nature?
Through the chair, can I suggest that if you wish to table the memorandum that was provided, as I said, for information to assist, we can table it and close the doors to discuss the detail. It was provided in confidence to council, so to put it on the table unannounced would probably be a problem.
Can I ask a question with governance? Yes. This discussion's not, I don't believe we're not going to be discussing specific numbers. If we were discussing specific numbers, fair enough, I understand going behind closed doors. I don't plan on talking about numbers. I don't know if anyone else does. And I think we should just proceed the way it is. I think it's a good news story and I think the ratepayers should hear it.
Thank you, Councillor Adams. I just wanted to check with Councillor Davidson if she did want to proceed with going behind closed doors, having received the additional guidance from governance and the CEO.
Well, if I ask a question then that is commercial in confidence, no doubt someone will stop me.
Correct. All right. On that note, would you like to open the debate?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much for that. Over several years, I have been advocating that we support small businesses and the retailers in the city, and I mentioned it a bit earlier on, the competition that we've got and the perception in many instances that it's very difficult to come to the capital city in terms of cost and convenience. So I thought to myself, what could we do for the week of Christmas that would encourage people that otherwise wouldn't necessarily think about the city of Perth as an option? So when I was discussing this with various stakeholders, I put forward a concept, an idea of from 4 p.m. until close in the car parks outlined here, that we would provide free parking. So therefore, if there was a family, for example, mum worked in the city and dad worked in the northern suburbs or the southern suburbs, dad could organise and pick up the children and drive them into the city and not worry about, for the week of Christmas, they can come and do their shopping, they can come and have a nice meal at a variety of lovely restaurants that we've got here, the different lights that we've got, the different activities that are going on, and families, children, pensioners and people that otherwise wouldn't come to our capital city would feel at ease to come to our city. I also thought that 4 p.m. actually provides the opportunity, because that week, let's not forget that we've got late night trading. So in that week of Christmas, the shops are open until late. And what I'm trying to do is assist people, the retailers, in getting their wares sold and promoted with all the activities that we've got going on in the capital city to drive people in. If we made it cost effective and easier for them as well, we will drive the public into the city, our retailers will be more successful, and hopefully they will survive another year of trading and we could start building upon that and moving forward. So at this stage, I would like to wholeheartedly ask my councillor colleagues to please support this motion. It's up to us. I know that there's a lot of people that are waiting to see the outcome of this and the other motion that I've put forward. They have written to us, they've contacted us, they have sent us petitions. It is something that people are desperate for. So I hope you can support it.
Thank you, Councillor Limios. Councillor Harley, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I wanted to speak in strong support of this proposal, but I did have a question as to why it was only the week. My understanding is that extended trading is for the 5 weeks in the lead up to Christmas, so the late night shopping is not just those last 7 days.
Well, I think that's a question you would need to direct to Councillor Limios, having put the motion forth.
Sorry, just to explain further before I ask that, because I believe that this kind of parking, that is the 4 p.m. until late, you know, like personally, I know, well, I'm probably a bad example. I have to admit that I'd probably do my Christmas shopping in the few days before Christmas. But many other people would be doing their Christmas shopping much earlier than that and planning a bit more carefully. So I would be very open to seeing this actually be 2 or 3 weeks in the lead up to Christmas rather than just being the last 7 days.
Thank you. To your question, Councillor Harley.
Okay. I have the answer to that.
Thank you.
I've communicated a lot with the relevant director. I've communicated with the Deputy Lord Mayor extensively. And if it was up to me, I would have a myriad of parking. I would make it free parking everywhere, on every street, all the time for everybody. However, I wanted to pull the responsible hat on, and I listened to what the Deputy Lord Mayor had to say. I listened to the great suggestions that Director Moore had to say, and I thought this is a good start. And because I didn't want the financial implications to be such that it would get knocked on the head based on a financial implication, I wanted to at least provide something that is palatable and doable. And this was through a lot of extensive consultation with various councillor colleagues. That's why.
Thank you, Councillor Limios. Councillor Hurley.
Thanks for the clarification. So I'm just happy to speak to the motion now fully. I wanted to put on the record that if other councillors wish for this to be a greater period of time, I'd be happy to support that. I think that the cost is significant, but the benefit to the city would also be significant. We do need to always understand that we have a fiduciary responsibility to govern this organisation well and to ensure that our budget stays in surplus. We do also have a responsibility to the retailers of the city to, as best we can, ensure that we're not standing on the necks of traders and that we're encouraging people into the city. My understanding from the administration's advice earlier is that if we were to proceed with motion 14.1, the day rate would be moved forward. It's currently 6 till 6, a 12-hour day rate. That would be moved forward from 6 p.m. back to 4 p.m. That would in essence mean that parking in city car parks after 4 p.m. would become free, which would mean that someone could go into work at 9 o'clock and stay in the city until 9 o'clock. They could work a full day, shop and eat and drink afterwards and still only pay the day rate. So this kind of initiative to encourage people into the city later to support that late night shopping, I'm very happy to support. And if other councillors wish for it to be extended, I'd be open to supporting that as well.
Thank you, Councillor Harley. Councillor Chen.
Yes, please. Deputy Lord Mayor. I think Councillor Limios thoroughly consulted with each of us, and it's a good idea to put the experiment forward. And then I also congratulate the administration. They are actually already started with the 5 car parks on weekends, $5 per day. So I already spread the news to everyone, to my community and other communities. People really welcome, you know, weekend. And now, if we do, in addition to that, and we will have, you know, free from 4 o'clock to evening, it will be fantastic. So we will consider from here, we start from here and move forward in the near future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment about so Councillor Livingos's comments and his response to the question from Councillor Harley, I think, appropriate and I think responsible in that Councillor Livingos did discuss the issue with the director of that area, and I think, you know, as I wouldn't be making any decisions once again. Wouldn't be keen on making a decision once again on the fly. We were just making these decisions when it involves finances. I'd like to see a business case if it's going to be over 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, whatever that case is. I'm happy to support it the way it's been written, and I think by the sounds that Councillor Limios has explored this with the director and that the relevant departments and with the Deputy Lord Mayor. So I'm happy to support the way it is.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. The CEO would like to make a comment.
Yeah, I'd just like to reinforce the comment. I think the Deputy's made a good point. It has been consulted with the administration. The administration cautiously supporting it because it is restricted periods doable. It's something, it is somewhat experimental, but we agree that, you know, the consultation has been done to significantly expand the time would start to become material in impact on income.
Thank you for clarifying. Any other comment?
Deputy Lord Mayor, could we just ask, I mean, normally when a notice of motion is put up, we do put in financial implications.
Yes, they were provided by...
No, so I'm lost because I haven't got the document with me. If anybody could provide it with me...
Yes, I've got them. I can give you a copy. While Councillor Davidson's reviewing that, I'll just make a comment, which is that I am very much in support of this motion and I'd like to acknowledge Councillor Limios for the significant engagement that he's done with the traders and also with the elected members and the administration to put forth this motion. It's a very modest impact on the budget and the benefits are certainly justified in my view, and I will be supporting it.
Through the Chair.
sorry. Councillor Davidson's still without the document.
Just while she's reviewing that, Councillor Hazlack, would you like to make a comment?
Through the Chair, I'd like to thank Councillor Limios for the efforts that he's put into this. He's been very thorough. He's consulted with, I understand, all of us in relation to this matter. Well, he's with myself and others, maybe not all of us. I certainly fully support Motion 14.1. I think that it's a critical thing for our small businesses that are seeking our assistance where we can give it. And I think this is one of those things that we can do to really help the small businesses out there.
Thank you. Councillor Davidson, did you... Okay, sure. Would you like to close the debate, Councillor Limios?
Yes. I would like to also thank the administration for the help, because I realised that I was asking a lot of questions, and we worked on it quite a bit, especially in a workshop that we had outside, and yourself, probably 20 or 30 phone calls. And thanks for the words of encouragement to my colleagues, councillor colleagues. Basically, let's leave it at that. I hope we get it through, and I think it's people are going to thank us and be very happy with this. Thank you.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put the item to a vote. All those in favour? And that is carried unanimously. Congratulations, Councillor Limios.
Item 14.2, in accordance with the same clauses, obviously, standing orders like a law, following notice of motion we received Councillor Limios on 15 November 2017 for consideration of Council. 1, that Council initiate a 6-month trial, brackets, with a 3-month interim review, of 1 hour free time parking to assist our struggling small business owners and residents on the following roads: Royal Street, East Perth, between Fielder Street and Trafalgar Road, Lake Street between Newcastle Street and Rose Street, James Street between William Street and Fitzgerald Street, Hay Street between George Street and Thomas Street, and the 3-month review to take into account revenue reduction as well as the external economic review, 2, to commence January 1st, 2018.
Would you like to move? Thank you.
I'd like to move that.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Barton.
Can I speak to that, Deputy Lord?
You may.
Yeah. Look, this is another motion whereby I've consulted with stakeholders heavily. I've consulted with the Deputy Lord Mayor and many councillors. I said many councillors, sorry, Councillor Davidson. I couldn't get in touch with you. And what we've found is that, and I've experienced this firsthand, is that whenever I want to have a meeting, or regularly when I want to have a meeting, with someone that wants to have a coffee catch-up, and we don't know whether it's going to go for an hour or it's going to go for half an hour or whatever it is. And I tell people, oh, come and see me here. I'm in the city. We'll meet at one of the cafes up the road. They say, look, do you mind if we meet maybe in Vic Park, or do you mind if we meet over in Vincent on Lake Street? On Lake Street at Tarts or wherever it is, because of the fact that people just pull up. There's no fee. You're not being chased down by a parking inspector or information officer. That's the perception. That's the perception that people have. I've been speaking with small business owners since 2009 when I was elected, and their biggest gripe is the amount and the expense of the amount of on-street parking that we don't have, the cost associated with it, and over the years what's been happening is slowly due to other needs and other assessments from council, we're reducing the amount of numbers of actual car bays that are available, and other bays are taking precedence, or footpaths are changing their shape, or redevelopments are occurring, and we're losing bays. The people like the AHA, people like the Big N, and the small retailers, the Perth City Summit that the member for Perth had, it was clear that on-street parking was a major problem. I initially proposed half an hour. But the discussion that I had with the director, due to the technical equipment that we don't have at this point in time, whether we did half an hour or 1 hour made no difference. So I thought, to help the struggling retailers, I would give them more than less. To make that even easier for people to make a decision. And what we're trying to do is change the perception that it's hard to come into the city. So, and I'm not going everywhere. We had a petition for Royal Street, and that was over 1,200 people signed that petition. One of the property owners rang me last night and said to me, just so you know, without trying to influence you, he said, I'm a supporter of what you're doing, but I've got three major businesses that I want to put on Royal Street that'll be subject to this outcome tonight. One is a doctor's surgery, the other one is a tapas bar, and the other one is a skincare clinic. This investment is going to be probably around $3 million, and I will only do that if I can have the ability for people to pop in and pop out. Said, a lot of the shops, we've got a major vacancy on Royal Street, and the whole intention and purpose of Royal Street was to make that into a village environment for the residents and the business community alike and the people of Perth to enjoy. At the moment, the vacancy levels are through the roof in that particular precinct. So they believe, and I was on the campaign trail now, even the residents that live there, they think twice about getting in their car to go there, try and find change or do whatever they have to do to go from one side of East Perth to come to the IGA or pick up their medical from the chemist, buy the newspaper or have a coffee. I've said this example before. If a coffee costs you $4 to buy on Royal Street and then you've got another $4 in parking fees, that's an $8 coffee. So you might get a resident that decides, I'm not going to have my coffee there. I'll buy it when I get to work.
Councillor Limios, we're getting up to time. I just wanted to ask you if you could bring your opening remarks to a close.
Okay. I didn't realise we had a time limit. Oh, okay. This is on you. Anyway, so I'm really... I had a good look at this with the directors again, with the Deputy Lord Mayor, and we've reduced it. Both in terms of time, so instead of a 12-month trial, it's gone down to a 6-month trial. In terms of streets and the length of the streets, we've reduced that, and we've really pinpointed it to the areas where people are crying out for this assistance. So I ask for you to please support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Limios. Are there any more comments?
I wanted to ask questions to the director for the car parking, the financial implication, and then whether sustainable or not. So if that is the case, and then I could support.
Thank you. Director Moore.
Through the chair, the second part of the question about whether or not sustainable is that there are two costs that will come from this. One is the revenue impact and the other one is the infringement impact. As a trial, we are doing this without the additional officers that would be required to monitor the existing zones and the additional one-hour parking. This is more than likely going to affect our infringement revenue from this as well, and will need to be monitored closely. As a result, there is also capital costs involved in the fact that this has to be very much done as a manual process due to our equipment restraints, as will also be an impact. It is in the memo that we've provided the actual financial potential. What we've done is we've actually outlined what is we expect to be the direct financial impact. What we have not included is the indirect financial impact, which will be the impact on the infringement revenue, because that has not been a actual current data point which we would need to monitor.
Thank you. And am I right in understanding that the calculation is approximately $800,000?
Yes.
Thank you.
We can have decreased the period 3 months. Is that acceptable to Councillor Limios?
May I make a suggestion? So Councillor Limios last week had asked about looking at the economic benefits to put into context the cost and benefit analysis. And I thought it was a really great suggestion. And at the Finance and Admin Committee meeting last Tuesday, the committee unanimously supported initiating an economic study to look at a range of parking promotions, including this specific one. And the report will be completed at the beginning of January, and it would also give the administration time to look at what we would need to move in the budget, because we haven't currently budgeted for $800,000. So it would allow us to look at what we would either delay or cease doing, and so we could make a more informed decision but not delay the commencement materially from when Councillor Limnios had anticipated. So I just, my personal preference is that we, because the motion around the economic study is already afoot, that and that it will be ready at the beginning of January, I'd be happy to initiate an out-of-session Finance and Admin Committee and a council meeting in January, so that we could look at this as a matter of priority, recognising that there is significant need, but that because of the amount of money involved, that we would want to do it prudently. And so I just put that as a suggestion to your question.
Deputy Lord Mayor, am I, the question, am I correct in understanding that your intention is to refer item 14.2 to the Finance and Administration Committee for consideration, or are you suggesting that we vote against or in favour of the recommendation?
That's a good question. Let me just consult with Governance one moment. Yes, I am proposing to move a procedural motion to move the item back to Finance and Admin Committee. And
I'm happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Davidson. Would anyone like to comment on that procedural motion?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. At the discretion of the Chair, thank you for the opportunity to comment on that. I wanted to make it really clear for the record that and I won't speak on behalf of other councillors too much, but Councillor Haslack and I, as well as Councillor Limnios and Barton, all during the recent election, received the message from the community loud and clear on this. It was a resounding and almost unanimous sentiment from every person that we door-knocked and spoke to, that right throughout the city, the issue of on-street parking was extremely important. And traders saw it as being crucial to the success of their business, and they saw the parking strategies or the parking initiatives or fees of the city as being one of the major reasons why their trade had declined. Mm-hmm. And in particular, the introduction of the $2 minimum fee and just general year-on-year increases had really materially affected their business. When you look also at the increased competition from our collar councils, neighbouring councils, Vincent, Subiaco, Vic Park, others, they're all extremely competitive here. They're offering free parking, first hour free parking, and all of these other initiatives. So it's my personal preference that we should proceed with on-street parking first period free. Like Councillor Limnios, you know, we'd both supported a motion recently that had been petitioned for on Royal Street in East Perth. It's actually my view that 30 minutes free is probably going to be a better situation for the city, although our machines do not allow that to occur at the moment, and we've got new machines that we're currently tendering for so that we can upgrade the infrastructure and then do this in a lasting and responsible fashion into the future. So there may need to be an interim strategy put in place, but I do think that as the Chair of Finance and Admin Committee, we did discuss this item. We did discuss that we needed some data to actually determine whether or not this was going to have the desired impact. My gut feeling is it will, but I think that we need to have evidence-based policy in order to make decisions of this financial magnitude. If it was a $100,000 impact, fine. We're talking about a $1.6 million abiding cut in our budget. I think that it's something that we probably do need to... Sorry?
Sorry, just a point of clarification. The actual figure for the six-month promotion is $800,000.
Correct, but if we were to accept this as an ongoing practice, it would be a $1.6 million ongoing cut.
And that's not actually true, and I'll just explain okay. why, because when we get the new parking machines, the cost of administering this kind of promotion would be significantly less. I don't think we can make that general kind of statement.
Thanks for that information. That's important to know. And I do think this kind of information is really important for us to have when we make these decisions. I think that once the infrastructure is in place, then we can do this with great confidence. I think that we do need some more information before we make a decision of this financial magnitude, but I do believe that we can still make this decision as a council and still implement first hour free parking by January of 2018. It's just that we need to work our little butts off between now and then to make it happen. So I'll seek your guidance, Deputy Lord Mayor, on what you think is in the best interest of
I'm
the council.
I'm just going to raise a possible point of order because we have actually done a procedural motion to finance. So I'm looking towards...
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Davidson. I appreciate
and,
that. So does that mean we have to vote on that? We put that straight to a vote. Thank you. I apologise. We are going to put the procedural motion to a vote.
Sorry, may I ask a question?
Certainly.
I thought Councillor Harley asked if he could speak to the procedural motion.
Yes, I know. I allowed him to, but I shouldn't have done that. So I shouldn't have done that. I should have put it straight to a vote. So I apologise.
Because it would have been great for me to be able to say that
I really sincerely apologise, okay. Councillor Limios. But we are going to put this item, the procedural amendment, to a vote, which is to move this to the Finance and Admin Committee with the undertaking, and I would need someone to second that. Just to
seconding.
Thank you. With the undertaking that we would initiate out-of-session committee meetings as soon as the report is ready to be able to respond to this. All those in favour? And so that is Councillors Harley, Hasluck, Chen and Davidson. All those against, Councillors Barton and Limios. And
Item 14.3, Deputy Lord Mayor, in accordance with City Perth Standing Orders Local Law, following notice of motion was received from Councillor Limios on 15 November 2017 for consideration of Council, that Council 1 initiate an external cost-benefit analysis to determine the overall impact of discounted parking within the City of Perth. This research to indicate factors such as the impact of discounted parking on attraction, intent and activation to visit and the dwell time and spend of people who visited the city because of or in part due to perceived or actual improved parking options and cost. 2, notes that upon the completion of the research, a report be prepared for Council's further consideration. 3, to be completed on or before 6 weeks from Council endorsement.
Councillor...
Yeah, I'll move that.
I'll second that.
Okay.
I'd just like to ask a question. Councillor Limios, bearing in mind that this exact motion has gone before the Finance and Admin Committee last Tuesday and the exact report is already afoot,
yes.
Would you like to...
I'd like to make some comments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just ask whether Councillor Limios would be happy to, if I can use the word, imbue the Finance and Administration motion within this. It's very close to it.
Yeah, would you be willing to consider withdrawing this, bearing in mind that the exact same motion is already afoot?
If it administratively makes it easier, I would, but I would like the opportunity to please speak.
Of course.
That's my logic.
Yes, by all means.
Is that can that happen?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm happy to withdraw this motion to assist administratively. However, the logic behind putting this motion up was part of the consultation that I did with Deputy Lord Mayor and a variety of other people and stakeholders. Because this matter has been raised, the issue of parking has been raised for years to me, I believe that it is so important that the cost-benefit analysis will outweigh, the positiveness is going to outweigh any negative issues that we foresee in terms of revenue loss. Why do I say that? Because as a businessman, I understand that I need to invest in order for me to
I just note that Councillor has left the chamber for a moment.
Okay. No problem.
For a rest break.
That's fine, absolutely. It's just that I understand that we've got people that pay us rates and taxes. We've got small business owners that are just trying to make wages if they make wages. The majority of them are just managing to pay their rent. We're receiving emails regularly about people about to go broke, about the redevelopments that are affecting them. And I believe, through consultation and then logic stepped in, that if we did this report, we would be able to roll out a suite of parking incentives. Because if we had gone to how I originally started in my conversation with the Deputy Lord Mayor and with Councillor Barton and others, it was $5 parking down at Terrace Road, Saturdays and Sundays, from 10 a.m. until close of business. Fire station, car park, that was going to be a fixed fee. The Pierce Street car park was going to be a fixed fee at certain points. Just to start to get people into the... to just take away that negativeness about the city, that it's too hard. So that was my intention. I don't want to hold anybody up anymore. We've had a long enough meeting. Thanks for indulging me. Even though I wasn't happy about that being pushed back to council because I really want to see it, I'm comforted that the majority of the people around the table want to see that rolled out and rolled out quickly. So I accept the majority's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. I just would like to echo your sentiments, Councillor Nielsen, to say that we've never done a parking economic study before, so we don't really know what different promotions will do, and I think this report will provide us with the ammunition to look at a whole range of things, as you suggest. As you have withdrawn that item, that draws us to the conclusion of the formalities. I just wanted to check, are there any items of urgent business that
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank my councillor colleagues for working together to drive the many reforms that we have gotten through this evening. It was really great to see, and also to the administration for the significant bodies of work that you've done to make that happen. And thank you for your attendance. I now declare the meeting closed.